Thanks for tuning in to the Vertical Plus podcast. We always open the show with a discussion about this past Sunday's message. If you didn't catch it, you can go back an episode and listen to the audio version. Thanks again for listening.
Hey, Chase.
Hey, Ben. Oh, you were first this time. Wow.
I was totally worried you're just going to inhale until you pass out.
Somebody said something.
Somebody stop him.
Yeah, I had to break the tension.
Yes, there's a lot of tension. What kind of tension? I don't know. You'll find out.
Hey, pick attention. You know, we're going to talk about
tension. Pay attention to this podcast sponsored by Preparation Aids. Preparation Aids coming to you in your time of need, no matter when
it is
or where indeed.
Wow, that actually sounded like a jingle.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. It didn't make sense, but it rhymed.
Felt a little Price is Right, but I'll give it to you.
We also picked up a sponsorship from MeUndies after last week when we talked about underwear.
It was like that weird convergence of like people thinking the same odd thing.
Yeah.
But I appreciated it.
Yeah. The downside of being sponsored by MeUndies is like I wouldn't recommend $20 underwear to anybody, but because we're sponsored,
you have to
buy MeUndies.
We have to talk about this.
Yes.
It's just like a haircut or something like that. Mm-hmm. How many times are you going to wear that pair of $20 underwear to justify the expense? I mean, it's probably going to cost you in the end maybe 17 cents per wear, if not less. Hmm. So why wouldn't you spend that much money?
Because Goodfellow is about $15 cheaper and probably lasts just as long.
But I mean, I can make the same argument about the Reebok that are at Costco or Sam's.
I'd wear those.
So, I mean, I just feel like if you're one of those people that's like, you know what, I really want to have comfortable underwear, then the price point probably shouldn't stop you, because if you put it up against your other expenditures, you spend way more on things that you use way less.
I kind of wish we could poll our audience as to how they use their underwear and like where they buy
it. It feels dangerous, but I see what you mean.
We would find out some things we don't actually
as enticement.
Want to
know. Have you guys seen the picture of the guy walking around the grocery store with the converted underwear mask?
Yes.
I'm like,
oh, is it the crotch on that the ass on the front?
And somehow you know like that guy's from Mississippi.
Yeah, I just said that same thing.
That's where he's from.
I kind of feel like I'm sitting at my dinner table with my teenage boys right now.
Okay, sorry.
He's like, yeah, I finally decided I need to stop wearing these, so I figured why not make them a mask.
You know, we have 3 minutes to kill, so
yeah, this is what we do. We gotta find something that teen preteen vibe for the first 3 minutes, you know, because people are having difficult days, you know, full of stress, so why not listen to people talk about underwear.
I figure people are already fast forwarding to the recommends, so let's give them a little entertainment while they try to reach down to the 15 second button or 30 second, depending on which platform you're on, you know, and then they can skip whatever Austin talked about this week. Coincidentally, Austin did indeed teach this week. I'm gonna vamp for 3 more seconds. No vamping at all, just silence.
Yep.
Hey, Austin. You talked this past Sunday, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Chase doesn't know he was outside sweating.
Yeah, I was. I died, but I'm back.
Forget COVID. I had a heat stroke.
So
he was
hot.
Watching me in a sauna outside.
Anyway.
Oh, man, I should have thought when we were recording earlier in the week to like work up a sweat so that while y'all were watching it outside, you feel like
just
I was there with
give
you in
the
spirit.
Little pat, you know, like the...
People did think you were live. People meaning a family that walked up and said, hey, are we doing it on our inside stuff? We're like, oh, yeah. They're like, okay, so he's already started, right? I don't know. They should be in worship right now. She's like... But he's talking.
I was really worried that you were going to say that was my wife, because she was sitting with you guys. And Caitlin, who I love, is gullible enough to think
that's actually
what's taking place.
Yeah, no.
Don't deceive yourself that little clause saved you from that statement. Who I love.
Like, of whom I love and adore.
Of whom I have
Does
deepest
she listen
affection.
To these podcasts?
Sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm, yeah, there's something I can say about my wife who is, as I say often, the least impressed human about me, period. She's like, I'm not listening to your podcast. It's just not happening.
I can't take any more of you.
Yeah, like I have to live with you. I'm suffering enough for the good of the world. So
that can't be Derek. She's a martyr. You're right.
Yes, she really is. Everybody knows it. All right, so Austin said some things, and we should talk about those things. Yeah. Can I bring up the Bronco yet? Is that for later?
No, that's later.
That's in recommends.
Wrong segment.
You'll recommend that.
Sorry, I bet I will.
Save it for recommends. So we open a new series this week.
Yes.
Call Consider the Raven.
What a great graphic.
It really
and
was.
And a great series name.
Is, still is. We're still using it.
Yeah, we're still using it. When we were planning out the series for the year, you know, back before COVID. Well, it may not have been before COVID. We just didn't know about it.
Oh, definitely was before COVID.
Well, no.
COVID was already in the lab doing its thing in Wuhan, China, but
China was already sprinkling it.
Yeah, anyway.
In the lab. But,
conspiracy theories.
Anyway.
COVID was on the grassy knoll.
Whenever Derek got the graphics.
Derek Walker, shout out.
D-Nub.
D-Nub graphics.
Yeah. D-Nub whenever design. Whenever D-Nub he design. Was giving us the artwork for these series for 2020, it was the first one that I saw that I was like, wow, that's a banger right there.
Yeah, Uncommon Sense was pretty good too.
Yeah, I like a TV show.
Oh, and one that's coming up in the fall that we're not going to name.
Don't say it yet.
Yeah, yeah. So but, yeah, Consider the Raven. It's everything that a church wants a series to do well. It's been done. The name is great. Mm-hmm. The graphic is great. The topic's great. It's so applicable to where everyone is right now.
So we're admitting that we write bad series.
Oh, yeah. It happens sometimes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's name one. What's a bad series that we did?
What was the Easter one we did? It combined with Easter. It's Our Usual.
Oh yeah. Scandal.
Easter, Scandal. Easter
Scandal really bad.
No, no, no.
Yeah. What's the one
no,
where the
Easter at Vertical spawned because of Scandal.
Yeah. Oh. The one where the plates were breaking. What was that one?
Great bumper. Breaking the stereotype.
The bumper was the best part. We're like, we should just show this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a very
good at the movies. 2 minute edition.
Now go home. That is the worst as a church too, when you're trapped in a bad series that started as a pretty decent idea and none of the filters caught how bad it was gonna be. And then you're like, here's what a series in a church where you're trapped feels like. You have to give the same talk in a different way for 4 straight weeks.
It makes sense why that. It's the same reason there's so many TV shows in the world. Like some filters just they didn't catch it.
But I think people are sitting in gray chairs on Sunday and they're like, man, maybe they don't know how bad. And I promise you, the guy on stage knows.
They know.
I'm not excited about it either.
That's when you just start inviting guest speakers in. You're like, maybe we should do 3 weeks of other people.
Yeah. Maybe they'll rescue it or take the brunt.
I'm also tired of hearing me speak.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, Austin?
Well, so we started out Consider the Raven this week, which is talking about fear, and it's a series that the teaching team is super excited about. I'm very excited about.
Strictly based off Edgar Allan Poe, correct?
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and if you're listening to this, you get insider knowledge, right? That's why we do. Yeah.
Say where it's from.
Yeah, right. So it is kind of that idea of the Raven with Edgar Allan Poe, but it's also this passage in Luke 12 that we talked about in week one and we'll also talk about later. Of this lurking fear. And so kind of getting to decide, you know, are you going to let fear be that raven in your life, like with Poe, where you're allowing it to lurk in the shadows and kind of pop up and freak you out? Or are you going to point it out like Jesus does in Luke chapter 12 and actually deal with that sort of thing? And so,
and then the title comes from verbatim. He says, consider the raven.
Yes.
I don't know if it depends on the version,
talking about Jesus or Poe.
Yes, definitely yes. Jesus. He's definitely referencing Jesus. Yeah. I think it probably does. I mean, every version probably says it differently, but
yeah. We're strictly message church here.
Yeah.
Message and NLT. I had a guy ask me the other day, like, man, you've been talking from the NLT a lot lately. What? I'm like, whoa, you are super paying attention. Mm-hmm. But it fits
with
our...
Was it Owen Terry?
Yeah.
No, I won't name him. But it fits more with our communication style in a lot of ways.
He does?
The ESV can be, anyway, that's a debate that no one cares about.
NASB for life. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm a King James guy. So.
Shut up.
No, never.
1611.
What did you talk about on Sunday?
So we talked about fear. Specifically, fear of inadequacy, fear of not being enough. When we introduced King Saul, who none of you know
about.
And
we should acknowledge that doing the intro week of a series is always kind of a tightrope walk because you're trying to do two things at one time.
Yeah, it can be a little precarious.
Especially if you struggle with the topic like Austin does.
With the topic? Fear?
Inadequacy.
Yeah, I got you. we'll leave that alone.
In many facets of life.
I had a joke and I didn't make it.
I know,
there.
Good.
You should see me growing as a person.
That's
right
rare
here.
For an Enneagram type 8 to have a joke and not use it. But,
well, now we're talking about the Enneagram.
You're
I'm
unaware of the Enneagram.
So
we talked about fear. We're using the life of Saul, which is basically your idea, kind of like in the ninth hour, like last minute, like, whoa.
Kind of. Yeah. He just fit really well with week one and week four. And we started playing around with week two and three, which you'll be speaking in, Ben. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, wow, actually Ben's getting the better weeks of this because Saul fits here too. I am so pumped for week three of this series and the talk that Ben gets to give.
So skip week two. Come back.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the life of Saul, I said it on Sunday, is so overlooked because we look at King David, but when you really dig into Saul's life, you're like, tragic story, but also, like, just wild.
Totally,
I mean, just wild,
the
things that happened in this guy's life. So.
Just classic Old Testament, too. Like, what? Wait, what? You did what?
What?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. But that's how we feel about our own lives. But I was saying yesterday in our teaching team meeting, I was so impressed with Austin's take of really trying to hone in on Saul's squandered opportunity. You were able to sit in teaching, right, Megan?
Mm-hmm.
His squandered opportunity of it could have ended this way, but instead, because of fear, it ended this other way.
Yeah,
I was like, whoa. As a fear-based personality, I was like, gosh, for you to bring up self-sabotage.
Yes.
Perfect. I mean.
Well, and I don't know that we talk about that often with Saul. You know, like when we're looking at the life of Saul, it popped out to me for the first time. It's like, man, like he did know David was coming, but that wasn't the way that it had to be. You know, there are various other roads he could have taken to make sure that he was taken care of, that the people of God were taken care of. And instead, he focused so much on the successor that he really, self-sabotage is a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But also to the detriment of everybody else, like his sons. As we'll see later on, you know, the people of God, you know, they were put in a really precarious place until David came up. So anyway, it's interesting. Y'all all listened to it. I mean, what did y'all think? I talked about it all Sunday.
Yeah, I really, you made a point about when we focus more on our fears than God's direction.
Yeah.
And I think like even, you know, in life in general, but then even just over the past several months, things that we've had to walk through, like, just focusing on that, what if, instead of God's direction. And then like the story that you told at the beginning, you knew in your heart that there was something you were supposed to do by correcting that man who was verbally abusing the woman he was with, but then you didn't because it was a scary thing to do.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, those things just kind of stuck with me. Like, how often do I know that I need to do something a certain way? And I can think of many situations in my past that I know I should have, but I kind of let fear take that hold on me and didn't do what I was supposed to do. And so obviously God's direction always prevails in its own way, but how much faster could things have changed?
Yeah. Well, and we get to choose to be a part of that too.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, like, man, it really sucks that you miss out on opportunities when you eject from the situation like that. It's like you said it perfectly, God's will is going to be done.
Right.
As churchy as that sounds, you just may not get to be a part of it.
Right.
And it's like, oh gosh, that's,
man,
that hurts.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. And so you, Megan, you talk about your past and I think about my past a lot, probably too much.
You are nostalgic.
I am very nostalgic.
Indeed.
And that there's an opposite side to that coin for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally contacted people from my past to apologize for particular things. And they're like,
what are you talking about?
What? God, I've been thinking about this for 10 years. You don't remember that? Like,
no,
but thanks for bringing it up. You know?
Not to relive that.
Yeah, exactly.
You
but
do suck.
One thing we can say about most all of our past is that, and I'm going to mention this on Sunday, now fear is being monetized and leveraged by the government and industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just, this series isn't just about, hey, well, you know, sometimes people are afraid and we need to know. It's like, this is one of the major assaults on the human spirit right now is fear, because there are people getting rich off fear. There are people making government policies off of fear. And if the people of God don't understand how to interact with this main stimulus, pun intended, then we're going to be sunk. It's going to dramatically affect our faith. It's going to dramatically affect the generation of students that you, Austin, you're trying to care for.
Yeah.
Fear is going to have a very different place in people's stories now because it's being emphasized so much. So for us to be able to say, hey, let's talk about fear. Let's take fear head on, and to start by saying what fear is going to do is rob you of your purpose. That I don't know that our community actually understood how strong that statement is. It may not show up until later for them. Brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant to start that way.
Yeah, and I think that it really, man, it goes so much deeper than we think. And, you know, we could play this game. We could talk about this for hours probably. But, you know, if you even think about, and it popped up Sunday just in mentioning Luke chapter 4, like, when the Spirit came on Jesus, what was he called to do? Well, to dispense grace, but also give freedom to the oppressed. Like, I think so often out of fear, we convince ourselves that where we are, like, we're kind of on the sideline. You know, mm-hmm. like, I've convinced myself, like, okay, I'm not in the middle of the fight. I'm in, you know, Mississippi. And just so out of fear, I place myself on the sideline. When in reality, if God has called me to also dispense grace, like, to give people that through Jesus, but free the oppressed, in the reality, we're in the middle of the battle. I mean, look at what Mississippi is doing right now. If we're supposed to be handing freedom to the oppressed and aiding them in that, Mississippi is ground zero, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like, so often we excuse ourselves from the fight when God has given us his Spirit to do that very thing, you know? So anyway, we could do a whole series on that.
Which we are. Hey. Maybe there'll be a Consider the Raven again.
Part two.
Consider the Other Raven.
Consider the Other Raven. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things. I do want to admit, it's kind of revived me a little bit. And maybe that's connected to people being back in the building, maybe not. I'm one of those guys that can really be revived by interesting topics, but especially seeing where God is connecting or looking to connect with people and where he was out ahead of what was needed mm-hmm. and building some things in our community that were necessary, discussions that needed to start happening. Even the guys that started this church a long time ago, taking some of that cultural stuff on with Philip and Greg, they were like, we're not going to stand for this anymore. And we're starting mm-hmm. a place that's different. And that has given us the ability, the platform to be able to do that even now.
Yeah.
Say, yeah, we're going to be different. We're not going to coddle the Christians. We're also not going to ostracize the people that had a different view on COVID-19 than we do. We're not going to attack the government, but we're also not going to stand with the government where the government's wrong. I mean, we're able to navigate that space so easily. And sometimes it confuses people that want to, like, they want us as a church to really pin down one thing and that we're going to stick with it.
It's like they want us to follow the rest of the culture where it's one side or the other, at least the vocal minority side of the culture that's so loud.
The 5% of either side is so loud. Yeah.
We frustrate people. And I, Megan's got a lot of history. She reminds me longer history at this church than I do.
Just a little bit, right?
Yeah, just by a smidge. But it depends on how she shades my employment history. But okay.
2015.
But you've been in that situation. Can we talk about this for a second? How many minutes do we have?
I don't know what you're going to talk about, so go for it.
Well, the way that we're addressing fear and the way that we're going to address fear, it's a little bit new. Like, we're kind of doing a Job series, but we're not calling it a Job series. We're doing this character study thing. But I think if anybody at this behind these microphones now could give voice to frustrating people, having those people leave because we won't choose a side, it would be you. I mean, you've been caught up in a lot of that professionally, personally, but you've seen it pay huge dividends, right?
Absolutely. There have been many situations, like you said, where we've frustrated people as leadership team because of a stance that we've taken or did not take, or a merger, or, you know, an employee leaving, anything like that, name it. And in the moment, as people are leaving, you think, oh my gosh, I'm losing this person that I've been so close to, or we're losing this awesome leader, this awesome volunteer. And it is sad and it's hard because it's relationship and you truly care about those people. But then it's kind of like God's will does prevail, and you watch things change over time. And not only do things here change and whoever is supposed to step into that role will step into that role. A team will become healthier because they are all like-minded and they can come together. And then you can also see God doing things in the person who had to walk away. You get to see what God's doing in their life too, and their healing. And so sometimes when you can't find that middle ground and you can't agree and you are the 5% that's so loud on either side of an issue and you do have to separate, you get to see the healing kind of come back together. And then maybe down the road, like Ben said, you can reach out and reconnect after that.
Yeah. I think churches get in trouble when they start to try to compromise for all people.
That's what I was about to say.
Which is a little bit difficult because it's biblical. Like, you got to be all things to all people. But when a church becomes so vanilla because they're trying to placate so many different groups of people, then they become nothing for everyone.
Yes.
Right.
And we're committed to not be that, you know, and we acknowledge as a church, there are people that walk with Vertical Church for a season because they need a church like this for a season. And in a few months or a few years, you may find them participating in community at another local church. We're not angry about that.
We celebrate
that. Yeah, we realize, okay, we trust God enough to believe that God probably has something planned for that individual or that family at this other location. Or God has used, and this is the one that excites me the most, God has used those people, their time here, to equip them to take our methodology mm-hmm. into that other congregation and affect change there. Mm-hmm. And it's we can point to literal situations yes. where that has occurred.
Well, also even the flip side of that, like I have a small group of boys in Amplify that I've had, 5 years? Oh my gosh, I'm old.
Yes.
5 years now. And not from the beginning, but early, the guy who used to lead with me, Chris Wilson, we made a decision we're going to just tell him what's up, you know, and if they want to leave, that's fine. The benefit of what Megan's talking about is that you can trust that God, like you were saying, Ben, that God's going to have a plan for them no matter what. Maybe you got to be the jerk that says what's up to these students where no one else is going to do it. Mm. So be it. You take the risk of trying to find that line between, you know, making them feel welcomed and letting them know that this is a comfortable place to be, and also not giving them a pass when they're finally in a position where someone's actually going to be a good leader for them when they may not have had that ever. And we have one of the largest groups at Amplify now because not because of what we do, but just because they know it's a place that's comfortable. But,
I think that's a direct assault on fear though. People are so fearful because they don't actually know where to look for solid advice. They don't know where to look to anchor themselves.
Yep.
And so whether you're a 15-year-old boy or however old when y'all got
whether them, mentally or physically.
Yeah, you know, there you go. But that's true. But or a 40-something-year-old dude, you know, that stumbles his way into Ben's, you know, garage, whatever that
literally.
Is.
Literally.
too close to home.
Yeah.
But you need somebody that is going to shoot you straight. That is that is a direct adversary of fear. Is truth. I honestly believe that. Like we talk about the enemy and it's a big scary thing or whatever. But the enemy wants you to be confused because then you're fearful. Mm-hmm. You know, clear is kind. We say it all the time. Brené Brown. You have to be clear with people, and loving them means that you're going to be clear with them.
Yeah, like people fear the truth so much, but then the second you get the truth, you realize it was the antidote the whole time.
Yes.
To whatever you were feeling inside.
I can tell you firsthand, a bad diagnosis is not fun, but then you get to do the work to make it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dearest Austin Roberts, the war front is cold and barren. One thing keeps my spirit alive at all times.
Your questions.
Don't interrupt my letter. One thing sustains me through the trials and tribulations that the enemy has put in front of me.
It's looking at your bromance award.
Don't interrupt my letter. Dearest Austin, you know my request, but I ask anyway. Would you ask us... Nay, ask ye anything. Sincerely, Philip Chase Hammock.
It was lovely.
Is that a yes?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I have questions, and these are only getting better.
Nice. People are getting warmed up to what we want on this segment.
I think
great.
So, yeah. I think they're getting
How
it.
Many people actually submit questions now?
More than started, it sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
I've got
good.
Three questions from three different people.
That's I'm talking
nice.
About.
And one of them doesn't even go to Vertical Church, so that's great.
Even is it Steven?
It is not.
Dang
not
it. Steven. No one knows who Steven is, but I had to ask.
Ah, man, he would have a good question.
He would have a good question.
Mm-hmm. I'll say, hey, ask me anything. First question, and this one is for Ben.
I'm ready.
And I am.
Only for Ben?
No, I think we all get to answer, but they're
he's got
to
start.
They're
okay.
aiming
Wait,
at
hang
Ben.
On.
With
I have
this
to do
one.
The awesome.
Oh, man,
he did it. He did it this past Sunday.
Yeah, you're making fun of me for that. It's okay.
Go.
My
go,
fingers
go, go.
Are kindling. I've heard Ben mention, quote unquote, celebrity pastors.
Oh, no.
A couple of times.
This is going to be a lengthy answer, everyone.
Get on your, there's your soapbox.
Give me my soapbox. There's my soapbox. I'm ready.
Are you all in agreement that this is a bad thing? And if so, could you explain the issue you take with them?
Oh, wait a minute. So it isn't for me.
You should start, though. You have the strongest opinion. I think even though we all agree with you.
Depending on which way it goes, I may disagree with him.
I think I'm...
Is it a bad thing? That's the question.
Okay.
It's a horrible thing.
Define celebrity pastors. Yes. Are you all in agreement that they are a bad thing? And if so, can you explain the issue you take
with
them?
Let me go to the opposite side of the issue. Well, celebrity pastors aren't that bad because they take the message of Jesus to so many more people than someone in a small town who's pastoring a church of 300. It's like this influence and exposure sort of thing that someone could just be captured by the gospel and God can use anyone. I'm like, phooey. Okay, that's my strongest. That is my strongest profanity on this podcast. Unbelievably thin and short-sighted argument.
Ben has set his walker inside and said,
"Phooey, yeah." It's like me in front of Jimmy John's with my hands behind my back. I noticed that I walk that way in my neighborhood, and I look crazy.
You walk with your hands behind your back?
It happens accidentally. Yeah, we don't have time for that discussion.
I'll get your trench coat.
You can hear his corduroy light my hands.
That's right. Yeah. Celebrity pastors, will God use anything to bring somebody to
himself?
You haven't
defined them yet.
Absolutely. Celebrity pastors are the people who are spending more money on their wardrobe and how to get their message out to the United States of America and beyond than they are on doing good for anybody. Mm-hmm. And they put this stuff out there about, oh, we've done so much good. Well, that's just because you've drawn a crowd because you needed somebody to worship you. That's what celebrity pastors need to do. And I would have any of them on the phone or on this podcast to say, turn away from your methods because you're destroying the American church. Destroying it. I don't care about your jacket. I don't care about your shoes. I don't care about your fake glasses. I don't care about your Instagram followers. I don't care that you can put words together that sound like you have a deep faith, because I understand you're putting yourself in front of that camera so that people will think you're great. And eventually what's going to happen is you're going to become addicted to something, or you're going to have everybody inside buy your book, and you're going to close all those campuses and you're going to destroy people's faith for the rest of their life. This is what is happening right now. And nobody wants to talk about it because it's way easier to say, oh, but God's doing great things in these 45 campuses that we have. Well, what's it built on? Is it built on your personality and your desire to be famous? We make fun of musicians all the time. They couldn't make it in Nashville and then prop up on a stage. Why aren't pastors talked about that way? We talked about that last week. Yeah, why aren't pastors talked about that way? Oh, because they're untouchable. They're chosen by God. Are they all? Hmm. I'm one, and I question that. There's my speech.
It's a good one.
Little speech.
Let's think about my little speech.
Three people will get that.
So I've addressed the antithesis of my opinion. Now you guys get to weigh in. Do you think it's a bad thing?
Yeah. I think I have to wonder where we draw the line on it, because I think there are also people that we would say, and this may just be me being a little bit of the devil's advocate. Okay.
Please. I think it's a great way to go about this.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I just put that pen on my chest. Devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know.
Stir that pot.
Yeah, that's right. Stir in the pot. I think that you're right for the most part, but I also think we have to say, where is the line on that? Like, because there are people that have those crowds that you're talking about that have written the books. Believe me, I've read the books. You know, who I truly believe are doing a good thing. And so where is the line on that? And I'm not going to call out names on.
I'll draw the line right now with the perfect name.
Okay.
Francis Chan.
Okay.
He's got the books.
He's got the books. He's got the following. And he literally said, quit it and then quit the game.
I'm leaving.
Yep.
Stop it. I'm leaving.
Okay,
I don't like what you've done.
So what about a guy like Louis?
That Louis is the grayest of the area for me.
He's very gray for me as well.
Because he says, hey, I don't think anybody teaches the Old Testament better than Louis Giglio. It's fire.
It is really good.
Literally.
But you have to...
It's fire.
But you have to say, that guy has a following, almost a cult-like following.
Yeah.
You know, and so what do you do with that? Are you mad at him for that? Are you mad at, because I really believe that guy is educating people on scripture.
I think it depends on how you foster the following after you have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know enough about what Louis Giglio does behind the scenes to have an opinion. There are other people that I definitely have an opinion on.
I guess that's what I'm saying. There is a gray area. There are these Instagram models of pastors that are leading these churches out there.
Oh, that picture that you show. I just can't shake that picture. Right. Who was in that picture?
We don't need to do that.
We don't? I would.
I don't know that we do need to do that. Okay. But.
Right. I'll put it on my Instagram. Okay. Wait, I don't have one. I do have Facebook.
That's because you're old and you have Facebook.
That's right. That's only to promote my woodworking business. Oh my gosh, I'm such an old man.
These are handcrafted dowels.
What do you think, Megan?
I think the biggest issue with that is that those pastors are put on this pedestal. And it can happen to non-celebrity pastors as well. I get that. But because they are so well known, take Perry Noble, for example. Several years ago, he did have the fall. And it was, I mean, I remember our pastor here at the time being crushed for him. And so we put them on this pedestal, and then they make one mistake because we think that they should make no mistakes or that they are untouchable. They can't make mistakes. I've heard someone say they don't sin because they're the pastor.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think of Andy Stanley, Ben? Because he sure doesn't have the getup. Have you seen the way that dude dresses?
I feel like his was accidental.
I think he pursued an idea. Of course, you could make this case for everybody. But I think he pursued an idea based on, even he's admitted, based on family tension. And he followed. Yeah, he followed what he thought God was calling him to do, and it worked. And he consistently, the difference I see with Andy is he consistently gives applause to the people around him for the things that they've done, for the ways that they made the effort successful. They're on podcasts, they're on stage. There's just a difference. And I'll go ahead and say this too. Andy's age helps him with that. A lot of these guys that I'm talking about are much younger.
Yeah.
And they
are they at least dress younger?
Yeah. Are they at least dress younger? Yeah. They've cuddled up to the idea that they're the most important thing in their church. And even their church policies convey that. I'm the most important person here.
I'm convinced, and I think Megan...
Last word on it.
And then I think Megan has really hit it on the head. It may have less to do with those men in particular and the people that are idolizing them and them just buying into that wholeheartedly.
That's where the problem really happens.
I see, even in that group of pastors in this picture that Ben is talking about, I can see three of them and say... People have their posters literally on their wall. Makes me ill.
And the thing, we skip past it. People just give blame to the pastors, but they don't have anybody around them. It's kind of like a rogue president. You know what I mean?
I was just fixing to go there.
There's no one around him or her saying, yeah, it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Well, and the YouTube comments, like we were just talking about before the podcast, are almost exactly the same. Yes, Pastor so-and-so, we know you're God's gift to America at Trump, you know? And it's like...
Or Kanye.
Or whoever. Like it's like anytime you're idolizing a human person and saying it in that way, then you've already crossed the line. And
you've invalidated them at that point.
I know.
So here's my final word. I will give the final word on this. I cannot control, and no pastor can control, whether a group of people put them on the pedestal.
Exactly.
But I can control whether I step off of that.
Whether you respond,
And that's what these pastors aren't doing. They're enjoying being on that pedestal.
And it is not just this very popular, charismatic sect of young pastors that we're talking about.
No.
I see men much older.
Small town Mississippi.
Of every ethnicity, every denomination, every one of them does it. And it's a real problem.
Yep.
Let's change it. We're changing it here at Vertical.
Yeah, Ben's not dressing up for you.
We consistently roast Ben.
Next question.
Every day.
Next question.
Go for it.
If you, and I'm going to have to explain this one because it wasn't.
Last question, actually.
Yeah, if it wasn't worded incredibly well. This is supposed to be taken in jest.
Stay on your mic.
Okay. If you could cancel any one person, who would it be? And then they put dash not too serious. So what I take
Francis Chan.
What I take that to mean
everyone
is,
in that picture.
I personally do not believe in the whole cancel thing. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
That being said,
we discussed that a couple of episodes ago.
You're right.
A little bit.
Who would you unfollow and not ever have to hear from again if you could? Oh. We'll take it that way.
Do they need to be like a famous figure?
I think it could just be the Sham Wow guy, really, if you want to. Like, who do you not want to hear from?
You know who I wish was still here? Billy Mays.
Oh, please. That dude
got too short of a life.
Rip. Yes, yeah. Man.
Anyway, thank you, he drugs. Changed the game.
We'll yep. see him one day.
Maybe.
Gosh, I don't know that I...
I think he died of a cocaine overdose.
Billy Mays?
I'm just kidding. I think he had a heart drugs. Attack. He had yeah. a heart attack.
That's fake
drug
news.
Drug-induced.
Speaking of fake news...
Man, this is a harder question than I thought it would be.
Go, Chase. Do it.
It would be Donald Trump for me.
Donald Trump for
he's
you?
He's just... He's too polarizing. Anybody that's polarizing like that really, really bothers me.
I
can't yeah. stand being all the way one way or all the way the other way.
Man, I typically like those people, but I would agree with you on him.
It's just too much. Especially when you have... It's back to the following thing. When you have that much of a following, it's just... You know what I mean? I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So. I come at it from a different side, but we end up in the same place. Mm. I'm like, you know, you have an office, man. Like, respect that enough.
Yes.
Or
to at least be a leader of our country. Like... Unbelievable. It's,
yeah,
the selective respect.
Leader, yeah.
Did you guys see the clip where he was signing the bill or something and he kept being interrupted by the reporter?
Oh, yeah.
And he looks so put out. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. You can't have a different set of rules for you than you have for everyone uh-huh. else. Like, you trample all over things.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I don't know that I think I'm so anti the cancel thing.
Okay, then think of it this way. If you didn't have to hear from somebody else again... If they just ceased to exist in your life, who would it be?
The spin
doctors. Who do you want to kill?
No, who don't want to kill? No. Yeah, the spin doctors. I skip them every time. I don't think I have anyone. I don't think I have anyone, really. I don't. I maybe my world is too small, but I don't have that strong of a reaction against those sort of people anymore.
I've just learned to unfollow people and
turn off the news people.
And not pay attention.
Yeah,
I'll give a general category. Okay. Is that okay? My general category is people who are on social media and believe that their political opinion mm-hmm. is the only one. I'm like, I scroll
past.
See
my answer, please.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I'm talking like at a very base level. I'm like, if you are constantly pushing your political opinion and as if it's the only perspective in the world and it's the only right one, I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I think it's Zuckerberg for me. I don't like that guy.
What do you mean by canceled, though?
I don't like. Yeah,
we're stripping the question too much. This is supposed to be a controversial question.
Okay, right? Good.
Chase loves this.
If I could not hear from somebody, and if all of his work could go away in a second, it would be Zuckerberg for me.
It is a lot.
What he has come up with, and he probably started as an incredibly bright, well-meaning person.
No, he came up with his site to rate hot girl, or
he's turned know. In it's turned into dollar signs, and I don't like it. I don't think it's good for where we are as a country. I think it monetizes a social. It's just not good. And on a personal level, I don't really like him. And so if I don't like that what he has come up with is leading so much into where our political, I don't know, where we are politically. And so I would do away with him. I wouldn't hear from him again. I think it's ridiculous that this kid has so much to say
that
over our country.
That much power to foster an agenda.
It just, it's too much.
Maybe it's connected to the Donald Trump thing. Like, hey, you haven't earned this.
And it's the other side of it.
Yeah. Well, and abusing it for whatever the value is, whether it's money or...
Yeah. But he did earn
ego.
It. He got the votes. Yeah. Trump
and for the record, if you don't like TikTok, then you also shouldn't like Facebook. We'll just say that.
I don't like Facebook.
There you go.
Is that it?
Well, I have another question, but I don't know that we want to do that.
That one kind of flopped because I just didn't have such a really
maybe
negative
do one
opinion.
More and let's not beat around the bush with our recommends.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Go quick with your recommends.
This is another quick or not another quick question unless you want to say yes or no though. Next question. Do you guys believe in a 7-day creation?
Oh, wait. Recommend.
You did it.
Can we cancel that question?
Yeah. I don't know. I disagree with that question.
You don't like the question?
Do we read it to me again?
Do you guys
believe? I've been caught in this trap before.
Yeah. It seems like a trap.
Yeah. But I'm okay. I walk into traps all the time.
Okay. To be fair, I warned you before we got on the podcast.
Right.
Do we believe in a 7-day creation? I guess, does it mean as vertical church or like as a person?
Maybe we should answer that on a personal
level. It's got to be a personal level, right?
Well, I would think, let me just fix that right now. I think it is not a requirement to be on staff or to be a church to believe in seven 24-hour days of creation, at least not the one that I'm leading, which may be an unpopular opinion, but I'm like, the first thing I say is, well, were you there? Mm-hmm. No. Well, do you know anybody who was there? No, but I read the Bible. Okay, well, the Bible is a book that's designed to be interpreted, first of all, and the part that you're referencing was an oral history and had a definite goal that wasn't, let's talk about the science-based view of creation. So you're way off the reservation.
It's built to establish the power of the God that we're following.
Correct. And even if you cite the other Old Testament passage that talks about, let's follow the example of God who created for 6 days and on the seventh day rested, I can give you an interpretation of that that doesn't match the scientific view of how the sun and all that stuff happens. So
yeah,
even that argument, I can go into that and say, that was a group of people who were using God as an example and retelling the story in the way that God told the story, because people exist inside of time. My answer to this question, you guys may be different. My answer to this question is God could do whatever he wants. Mm. And if it happened in 7 days, it happened in 7 days. If it didn't, that doesn't shape my view of God or the rest of the Bible.
Well, and I'll add on to that because we are in a similar vein. It doesn't diminish who God is to me. I heard a guy say one time, like, if an old man decides to fly across the room and he does it quickly or slowly, does it matter that it's still miraculous that he flew across the room? You're like, no, he's an old man, right? Mm-hmm. If God decided to create the earth in 7 days or over 7 million years, it really does not matter to me. Because he still was the guy that did it. It's still miraculous, you know?
Yeah.
I think you, I'm not trying to indict the person who asked this question. I'm really not.
No, I think it's a fair question.
It's a place of curiosity.
Yeah, because you're stupid.
In my
personal
journey of faith, and based on the tradition that I grew up in, if I'm stuck on that question, then my discipleship is also stuck. I haven't moved to the things of faith that really are going to make a difference. And I'm going towards that part of faith that argues about really, really tertiary stuff inside of the Bible.
There's a reason creation took three chapters, or that part of history took three chapters, and the gospel took four books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, mm-hmm. And it's even mentioned in the gospel, and what the gospel wants you to know about creation is that Jesus was there and it was facilitated through him. So the biggest part of it's out of the way right there. John did it in three verses.
Literally the entire Bible points to Jesus, and that's the sole purpose.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. And I will say, at some point, I'm going to be with God for eternity, and he may say, hey, man, you really should have advocated for this position. I'm like, oh, okay. All right, I just didn't know.
It makes me excited to find out the answer when I get there.
Yes. Yeah, that would be an interesting question. Who's the first person you're going to track down in heaven?
I want to hear Peter talk.
You want to hear Peter talk?
I feel like he's a fun guy.
He's like, you know what? I've been getting a bad rap down there.
Yes, I was angry all the time, but it was on purpose.
It was a righteous anger.
Yeah, so we're saying collectively the seven-day thing.
I mean, it says God's timing is not our timing.
Yeah.
That's
probably the most vertical answer we could give.
Yeah. God's timing is not our timing.
It's cool. So
I feel like Peter is good with a sword. That dude just aimed for the ear and got the ear.
He got it, yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Anyway, recommends.
recommends. Ooh.
I just want to say, after that jingle, that I nailed the key. Even though I didn't believe in myself last week, I did.
I thought the same thing whenever I was listening to it. I was like, there you go.
Look at me. Hype man.
Digital
for myself.
Content.
Hey, Austin, go first.
All right. I'm done arguing. I argue every week.
What, need, where, read, and more important than anything ever than ever. Thanks, Janice.
Thank you, Janice.
She appreciated the video, Megan. By the way.
Thanks, Janice.
Yeah, yes. We sent Janice a video last week thanking her.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I wasn't in that video, but I was watching it.
You weren't there.
It
was at staff dinner.
It was too late. It was too late. The dinner was too late.
You were supposed to have us over for dinner beforehand, by the way.
Oh.
Never happened.
Called out on the pod.
Yep.
Maybe we should do brunch instead of dinner next time.
I had a great time at dinner. I learned a new game and threw cards at people.
That game. I'm glad I wasn't there.
I literally threw a stack of cards at Scott.
I found my call.
You throw cards every time you play Pit, yet you keep playing Pit.
I loved it. I'd never played it before, and I was like, yes.
What did you say?
Austin, recommend.
You found your calling. You told Austin.
Oh, yeah. That was his game.
Type A game.
Go, Ben. All right, no, sorry, Austin. Go, Austin.
Yeah, okay. All right. Want, need, wear, read. What I think you want right now, and I was telling them beforehand, my wife and I are running out of things to watch together in lockdown. you know, it's just, it's got a little old, but Netflix has this thing now where they say, hey, here are the top 10 things in the country. And usually seven of those things, I'm like, wow, our country's not in a good place. But a couple of them are usually pretty good. One of them that I stumbled on this week was Zac Efron's Down to Earth.
He gets a bad rap.
Yeah, I didn't expect to like him.
Yeah.
I really didn't expect to like him.
He's pretty fun.
He's fun. He's got a great jovial demeanor.
He's doing serious stuff, but he's still having a good time while he's doing it. That's what I'm about.
And he may have help with that, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, look at his eyes.
Yeah, look at his eyes. But what he's doing with this show is he's going to different countries, and he's kind of showing some different ways they are attacking, like sustainable energy, water. And so even in episode one, they were in Iceland. I was telling some folks about it at lunch yesterday, so y'all may know, but like just getting to see the way that they are powering everything in Iceland was fascinating to me. So if you have an inquisitive brain, go watch Zac Efron.
It makes me want to move to Iceland.
I would move to Iceland in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Like, I want us to plant a church in Iceland.
Looks like
you're
a
the
different
correct
country,
shade, I think.
It looks like a different
your skin tone is, you'd fit right in.
Yeah. I love volcanoes and water. I'm there, Iceland. What you need, I think you need I may be pronouncing this wrong. It's the thing we make guacamole in. Is it a mocajete? Is that what it is?
The little bowl with
yeah,
the crusher?
Yeah, with the crushy thing.
Huh.
I thought that was called a pet.
I Googled it, and it said mocajete.
That may be a brand, but it's like the same thing a pharmacist used to compound
Hold
medicine.
On, I'm about to keep talking, Austin.
Okay, so we have got into a real rhythm of making guacamole at least weekly at our house.
Mortar and pestle. That's what it is. I think you found a brand.
Maybe. Well, it's whatever you crush your
Somebody
avocados.
Somebody was literally like screaming that at their speakers for the past 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's originally meant for like
I apologize
like herbs
to Owen Terry because he's the only guy that's going to know what that is.
I think I just got a text from Owen. There it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. So anyway, if you like a nice, even guacamole, Chase knows I prefer mine with a lot of lime and cilantro, a little jalapeno. But if you need those avocados right, man, you need to buy one of those things. And also, apparently, you can crush up pills in it.
You can.
So,
okay.
What you need to wear this week, wear a mask, because Tater Tot told us to, and read. I think you need to read the label on your hand sanitizer, because I've read many articles that say most of your hand sanitizers aren't doing crap. So check what your actual hand sanitizer is doing. They've recalled like 10 in the last week.
Hmm.
Read the label on your hand sanitizer. It might save you from a little cough. Anyway, I'm done.
Right. What is with the smell of hand sanitizers these days?
They smell terrible.
I don't
understand. It looks like
understand.
You're about to do a shot.
I was
like
leaving a store the other day. Put
Wait,
it in my
I
hand.
Said we had to go fast.
Sorry. Okay. Megan. Sorry, I only have one recommend.
My turn?
It's Megan's the quote-unquote guest.
I'm
Order.
A regular now.
I'll wait.
We already said she runs the church.
Really?
Gosh.
Go, Megan.
The guest regular. Okay, I've got all four. So want
Let's
you
go.
Should want to listen to the new album from Maverick City Worship if you have not heard them.
Oh.
They are amazing.
Is that Germantown's worship band?
Maverick
no,
City.
They are from. They're out of Atlanta, I believe. But it's actually
everyone.
A collective.
Yeah. Isn't everyone?
It's a collective group of worship leaders. So like, there's some from Bethel. I think there's an Elevation guy, and they all come together. Right?
Are
these
they
songs.
As lame as those Forever Free people?
No.
Okay.
Oh my God.
You need to
going
listen.
For
a friend sent me one of their songs, and I have not turned the album
young
off.
Young and Free Wannabes.
So, nothing like
Forever
that.
Forever Free, Young and Free? Where'd you get that from? Anyway, go
nothing
ahead,
like that at all.
So, can say the name again, because now I forgot.
Maverick City Worship.
Maverick City Worship.
I'm going to send all of you guys one of their songs, so y'all can listen to it. All right, you need to go get some dark chocolate covered blueberries from Costco.
Let's go. I'm in on that.
So good. They sound disgusting.
No, nope,
they
that
really
sounds great.
Do.
But I was with my daughter and her friend, and they were like, we have to get these. I can't stop eating them. They're so good.
I'm in on that.
Where?
Costco.
No.
Oh.
That's my joke.
What do you need to wear? You need to buy and wear some Reshma's Home merch. Yes, Reshma's my friend.
We
she
gotta
has
quit
a home
shouting her out.
In Bangladesh for these girls. And
don't you know she's a sinner? She got koozies.
I do like that koozie.
I just said buy some t-shirts and wear them.
Literally in my garage.
Wait, maybe she should sponsor the show. We give her way too much credit for her not to be giving us money for the show.
She is saving girls from being trafficked.
Yeah, for free.
So
all through Comfort
Colors.
She
has raised
amazing
sponsorships, and we need to buy her merchandise and wear it to help those girls.
We love your Rush Mom.
Yeah. And your home.
And your home.
Not your house.
Your house.
Reshma, did you notice that I corrected them?
Resh, I'm so, you know, next.
That's how we handle
Reed.
It. Reed. Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed is her last name. Read this book.
Is that Jenner?
No. Kylie.
Such a Fun Age.
Reed. The such book is called
gender.
Such a Fun Age.
What age?
It deals with some racial reconciliation, but it's a fiction novel. It's actually really good.
My wife would read that.
Yes, your wife would. That. Your wife, Caitlin, would really enjoy that.
Go, Ben.
My wife. That's my.
I have one recommend.
Good.
And it was awesome.
Oh, no. You haven't even said in one yet.
You don't even own it yet.
The Creek with all the rednecks.
I probably should have recommended actual outdoor camping, but that's a story for another day.
Right. Oh, my
I am
gosh.
Recommending that if you don't have Disney Plus, you get Disney Plus.
I've already done that.
And?
Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Because now you can watch Hamilton on Disney Plus.
Oh, Owen's hair really is freaking out now.
And my
any
family.
Any transgressions we had beforehand.
Yes, my family. I'm like, you know what? So many people are talking about this. I'm not really a musicals guy, but I want to see what the hype is all about. I was hooked. I mean, hooked.
Is that why you've been
Captain Hooked?
Everybody, speaking of musicals, my entire family was like, what is this? And then literally 15 minutes
Shepherd's singing it in the shower.
Yeah. And they're all like, how does a dun dun? You know, my kids are like, everything they do in their life, they're like rapping like Hamilton. So we're heading to the dinner table. They're like making lasagna, a Hamilton rap. I don't know. It was incredibly impressive.
Turned a leaf in the Derrick household.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's just one of those things where you stumble into. This was a really cool experience. And I will go on record as saying the guy that wrote it, incredibly impressive that he wrote it, but probably the people in his musical definitely were better than him, you know, musically. But still, the fact that his mind put all that together.
Did he also do In the Heights? Do you know? It seems like something you would know.
I've heard him reference, when he was doing Carpool Karaoke. He has another one, but I don't think that was it.
Okay.
That was also successful, but this one, wow.
Wasn't Cats then.
You know, I was contemplating how to see this live after seeing it on Disney Plus. It is worth your time, even if you don't like musicals, Hamilton.
Yeah, you may be out of luck because COVID-19, but I may watch it.
Eventually, it will be over.
Chase, what you got?
All right. I'm trying to research where this one's actually available now because it's not on Netflix anymore. But there is a man. He's passed away now for tragic reasons. But
if you say Fast and Furious, I'm going to walk out of here.
No.
Fast
Although
and
one and two are worth watching, you can skip all the other ones. Paul Walker, rest in peace. There is a man named Anthony Bourdain. He's one of those celebrity chefs that got on TV.
And then got murdered.
You think he got murdered in Paris?
That
dude was super depressed.
There's a theory out there.
We don't have time for this.
Is it another Epstein thing?
No, it's nowhere near Epstein.
Okay, good. Then I'll let it slide. Anyway, Anthony Bourdain. He may be a great chef. I've never had his dishes. That dude is fantastic as a TV host. And somewhere on the internet, the show that CNN did with him called Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown, it's available somewhere. If you got to buy the seasons, I don't care. I've seen all of them, so I don't have to bother. But it's Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. He travels around different parts of the world, even comes to Jackson, Mississippi, and tries the very, very deep-rooted culture foods of wherever he is.
Where did he go in Jackson?
Some place downtown that serves like livers and pig's feet and stuff. It was a black restaurant, so he did the whole thing on slavery and then how black people come up from it and stuff like that. And it's a very cool episode. Pates, Mississippi, and at first a bad light, but then as always, there's a rescue at the end. Very cool.
We deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he goes all over the world. It's incredible. You want to be not hungry when you watch it, because then otherwise you're going to be starving by the end of it because everything looks so freaking good. Even the pig's feet. Anyway, what you want to wear, it is about time for you. If you are 30 or older, then odds are you probably still have a really fat wallet, okay? Get out of that game, okay? You need to be able to carry your wallet in your pocket and not like there's something going on with your butt, okay?
This is coming from somebody who had a notoriously thick wallet.
The benefit was is I always carried it in my backpack. I was not able to carry it in any pocket because it was not beneficial because it looked weird. And made my pants tighter. All right. Trim some of that stuff out of your wallet. You don't need all of it. All right. If you need it, you'll go and find it. Slim down your wallet and then make it so that you're able to put that stuff in your front pocket. Because along with that, I'm going to help you with your health. It's terrible for your back to have your wallet in your back pocket.
It's true.
All right. Wolfpack said so. Just notes. Inside.
I'm with you. You're right.
Ditch that Blockbuster card and all of your other membership cards.
Actually, no. Yes. Keep the Blockbuster card. Blockbuster card's going to be worth money one day just because hipsters like expensive
stuff like
old
that.
Things.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, sell it for $50 one day.
What? So there's like a couple of brands out there. It doesn't matter. Like,
I would even say
care.
If you have a bifold, you're doing too much. That's what
yeah.
I would
yeah,
say.
Mine, yeah, mine, I don't even know what brand mine is. Rachel found it for me, my wife. Travel Lambo. I don't know.
I bet she found it on Amazon.
Probably. You can find it on Amazon.
Ridge has
some
one.
Some people say the metal ones are really awesome because they're super durable. I like leather just because I like
Travax
that,
has a good
feel.
One, I know. I use the Recycled Firefighter one, but it's just small. It's good.
We're all taking out our slim wallets right now.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Let's end this.
I'm going to cut out what you said right there because I wanted to. You remain.